The Trials of Apollo, The Dark Prophecy, Chapter 33. Feeling groovy, I'm drowning, freezing, snake surfing. Life is good, Batman. Meg and I plummeted through the dark, our rope unspooling as...
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Love. That's basically a sass moment in itself.
No, this book started off so silly. Or these chapters, not this book.
The whole first chapter was very silly.
And then it got very serious, but then always a little silly.
Exactly.
Ava, Neve, how are we this week?
Pretty good. I'm really getting finally accustomed to my surroundings. Yeah, and I got some jobs, which is pretty exciting. Start work at Bath and Body Works on Wednesday, which is hilarious and fun. And I also am doing the social media for this little design brand in the city that wants to expand, which is super cool. So trying to be booked and blessed, eating a lot of cereal. That's my week. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. Yeah, I have like a bunch of interviews scheduled for tomorrow. So that should be fun. I like don't know why I did that to myself. I just put them back to back to back. And they're all in the vague area of each other. So like it should be fine. But like it will be tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. I will be running around Center City, Philadelphia, trying to get to a bunch of different restaurants. But yeah, having fun. Brayden and I forced each other to go out this weekend and it was fun. And then we, on Saturday, we're like, we're tie-tie and we're going to start. It took me, how long have I lived with you? 17 days. And we'll minus three because I went home and worked Labor Day weekend. So 14 days, 2 weeks. Until I was convinced to watch all the Marvel movies from the beginning.
I knew it. I knew so, that it was.
So now, is that also, we're here.
That makes it sound like I like every day like woke up and was like, do you want to watch?
No, but it's something you've been talking about for a while. And I was like, you know what? We're both here and we need things to watch.
Yeah.
And I think I'm finally ready to do it. And I'm very invested so far.
And to clarify, we're watching all the Marvel movies, including the Spider-Man and X-Men movies.
Let's go.
Because I've always wanted to watch the Spider-Man movies, but I've just never like gotten around to it. But it's something I've always genuinely wanted to watch. So I was like, let's just go all in. And I'm having a lot of fun so far. I'm very excited.
So far, we've watched X-Men First Class. Hmm. We're going in chronological order, starting with the Sony Fox universe and then moving on to the Disney universe.
I've learned a lot.
So that it all builds up to like basically to Deadpool 3 that isn't out yet, but will be coming out and tying everything, all that stuff together. Yeah. So we watched X-Men First Class, X-Men, and the first Spider-Man. And and we have X2 next up. So we're doing it all. Doing it all at once.
Love it.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to finally understand references.
I know, right?
And it's been so much more, like, it's not that I had low expectations, but it has truly been so much more compelling than I was, like, anticipating it to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited.
It's cool.
So, how are you, Brayden?
I'm good. I'm enjoying rewatching these movies. We also started with good ones.
So that
Ava, as another person who's seen all these movies, knows that they're not all good. Particularly the X-Men ones have a go downhill real after the first couple.
They do,
but I honestly can't even remember Age of Apocalypse. I know we watched it. Ava and I watched this movie together, and I can't even remember what happens. I just know Oscar Isaac was in it.
I am genuinely trying to conjure up any plot.
Yeah,
and it's happening for me.
So some of these movies I've also only like seen like once, or so like, and that's fun. I mean, the original Spider-Man movie is like one of just like the best movies. It's just a great movie.
It was so literally, actually, you know what? I need to Google right now how long that movie was, because it was like 7 years and also 2 minutes. So many things happened, but nothing felt rushed, but it never felt too slow. It was fascinating. How long was that movie? Because I would not know if it was an hour and a half or like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, that's so true.
That is a movie I actually have not seen. I haven't seen any Spider-Man that haven't been
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Yeah.
No worries. I'm impressed.
But that's why we decided to watch all the Spider-Man movies and watch these ones first before the MCU stuff. So that like once we get to like No Way Home. And
I'm going to be filled in.
I've only ever seen the second one with Andrew Garfield because somebody dragged me to it and I had no idea what was happening, but I was like, Andrew Garfield's hot, so here I am.
That's true.
Guys, there was a time that Ava didn't think
that Andrew Garfield was hot. I think about it once a month.
It was a big plot on this podcast, actually.
Oh yeah, it was. I forgot about that. No,
I'm thinking about the Roman Empire. I'm thinking about that.
Ava's for sure thinking about the Roman Empire.
First of all, I believe I think about the Roman Empire at least once a day. Second of all, but I also am a history student, so you know. But yes,
the not Empire, anymore.
Not anymore, but like it sticks
you
with.
Once were a history student.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Man, weird. But anyway, I think about the Roman Empire frequently. And also, yes, the rumors are true. I used to not think Andrew Garfield was hot, but I have seen the light. And I think it's important to acknowledge. We do love growth. Yes,
I agree.
It's important, you know.
If there's one thing we love on this podcast, it is growth.
Real.
It's not like a super controversial stance.
You know, like, I don't know.
Well, that's how I'm really feeling about Apollo right now.
Yes, growth. Our girly is growing. He is changing. He is developing. I love these books. These chapters, like, really. I was feeling a little shaky at the beginning of this book.
Yeah.
On this book in particular. It's these chapters won me over. They were crazy. We'll get into that more. But welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing the Trials of Apollo, the Dark Prophecy, chapters 33 through 36, through the theme of cost. I have to summarize.
Yeah, you do. Woo! I'm so excited, guys. Okay.
Do you think?
No, just.
You're stalling until you're gonna
go.
Okay, so they're in the cave. They're snakes. Apollo forgot about the little honey cakes, but he's also like being a little silly. We see Leto. She's begging Zeus, and Zeus is not listening. Styx is like, "Girl, I am coming for you." And then Meg sings a little song, and the water gets big and it's Trophonius, and he's like, I made her crazy, and she knows prophecies and she's almost gonna die, and then Apollo saves her, and then they go to the Bellamy's and they trick them into blowing up the cave.
You have 5 seconds left. That was good.
Brandon, I was like, how would anyone summarize those chapters? They're so all over the place and so much happens.
I would say the only thing I would add is that Apollo not just like saves her, but like takes on whatever the fuck's happening. The bees,
the darkness.
I love the phantom bees. I don't know why. I was really feeling
slay phantom bees.
Neve and I were at the gym and I was listening to this audiobook at the gym and I went up to her and I said, "There's phantom bees." Yeah. And then I left.
Yep. I was filling up my water bottle. But I was like, it's about to get crazier. It's about to get crazier than the phantom bees. Like,
they have bees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A terrifying way to represent going crazy.
I know. It made me think of Frank and his when he...
I know. We'll never escape the bees, huh?
No.
An ongoing plot is really. What to do about to be.
Yeah.
To be or not to not be. To be. Clearly.
To be.
That's absurd.
Yeah, clearly Rick is in the to be camp.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Pro B. What songs did we bring this week?
Okay, I'm a little nervous. I think I've used this before in a past, not this season, but in a past playlist. But we've done that.
Yeah.
This song.
There may have been people on this podcast who've done the same songs in the same book, like a week after each other.
Yeah, you're right.
Oops.
So, Holly Humberstone has a song called Deep End that's about her relationship with her sister. And the like main tagline of the song is like, "Sister, I'm trying to hold off the lightning to help you escape your own head." And I just think with the sibling relationship that's been formed over these past two books, but especially this book that's really been like solidified, it was quite a literal representation of that lyric. So I thought it was good. It's also a very beautiful song. It was in Heartstopper, I think. And
maybe.
I was kind of gagged to see it there because I just wasn't expecting it. So you all might know it. It's really good.
Wow. Well, nice. Yeah, that reminds me, I still need to watch the second season of Heartstopper. I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, me too. And I can't get myself to.
I can't either. Anyway, I don't know. But so my song is not related really very much at all. But I went to a Hozier concert this past week. Best concert of my whole entire life. I think about it so many times per day. And he did a song for an audience that he's never ever done before, he said. And he did "To Someone from a Warm Climate" for the first time. And I was like, holy shit, what a cool experience. But also the specifically the line, "The awful things we do to make the head go quiet," reminded me a lot of the bees in Meg's brain. And like how hard Apollo
bees
was
in the brain.
The bees in the brain. Bees in the trap when it came out. No. Oh, that would have been good though. But how hard Apollo was working to help the buzz, like to try to quell the buzz. Yeah, and in that he was unfortunately like doing awful things to himself and his own psyche. But yeah. So not related, but I made it a little related.
I think it works.
My song is "Echoes of You" by Mariana Trench.
Yes.
It's just like about like your past and your past coming back to haunt you, and like starving off madness is like what a lot of the lines are about, and you can see how that applies.
Guys, I love this. My Trench supremacy. Everyone listen, this is healing my 14-year-old self who was like the only one listening to this band. I'm so excited.
What were our favorite parts of D chapters?
Parts of D chapters. Yeah, I kind of was obsessed with these chapters. The cliffhanger. I don't know if that's like my favorite or my least favorite, but I'm like, Jesus, I want to keep going.
Yeah, it was a good. I was drag racing past our apartment, it seems. That was so loud. But it was a good way to end. Like, it was a very compelling way to end the chapters. Also, like, an interesting thing to set up after these, like, really, this really deep emotional moment that they haven't fully, like, gotten themselves out of. Like, Meg is comatose and, like, whispering shit and stuff. It's like, yeah, I also wanted to keep going.
She has to sit on the chair.
Yes. She has to
sit. Sorry, I know what has to happen. I'm remembering. Yeah, it was slay throughout. I was really in for the stupid honey cakes joke.
I love that.
Every time he was like, so you brought the honey cakes, right? And she was like, no, you never told me about the honey cakes. It was like, okay, so you have them. Okay, good. Let's go. Yeah, and then she's like, what's happening?
It was so good.
Yeah. And it was just the dramatic, like, turn of, like, Trophonius being like, also, kill me.
Yeah.
And the way it was nuanced, too, was, like, really interesting.
Yeah. Very sad. Also, like, sometimes we see how prophecies come true throughout these books, and I'm like, this was a weird interpretation of the line.
Oh, yeah.
But this interpretation was slay. When they were like, and this is the line of the prophecy filling out, I was like,
to swallow.
Now I get it. Because I was confused on how that was going to happen.
No, he for sure swallowed. No.
Yikes.
That's not what I meant.
I know.
But it's what I said. We all know what I meant. Let's all freeze past the innuendo of it.
Exactly. But it was an interesting, I just like, sometimes they're like not, sometimes they're super predictable or like not interesting. And this, I was like, I wasn't sure how this was going to materialize. So it is crazy that this is how it's happening now.
I really liked Styx. Like, she just kind of like,
she shows up to be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And then leaves.
She mothered and left.
I'm obsessed with her.
That was very funny.
And like, Apollo just being like, oh, Styx showed up. I think she was mad at me. LOL.
in no way can take anything seriously.
Like, all right.
Whatever.
That's fine. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back to talk about our theme.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, cost. Where do we want to go?
I have a thought.
It's okay. Congrats.
Yeah, no, it's few and far between. But I thought it was interesting the way that throughout all the whole point of this series is like Apollo sees like what demigods have to go through and how the gods like use them as pawns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a present theme, but here it's just, he was ready to sacrifice himself, like, you know, prepared, like drank the stuff that made him all silly for the beginning of these chapters. And then to see like this all powerful being still be like, but it's still going to be her who pays for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're not a god anymore, like we're still going to make this like, not innocent, but like this demigod pay for it was so intriguing just because like stakes have never been higher. And like Apollo was really really ready to give it all up.
Yeah.
And then it was still turned back on, you know, someone he cares about who was just being used as a pawn for it. And like, he is really grappling with the consequences of that more so than like, I feel like other parts of the book have had him grapple with that.
It's also just like such a classic trope in stories like this, in a way that I always love it. Because it's just better storytelling to make the stakes like, oh, your actions are going to harm someone else, because your actions harming yourself are actually often less compelling because they're less relatable.
Yeah. Because
most people are kind of like, you know, I don't care about myself that much. Like,
people, yeah.
Especially like, I think the like modern perspective of selfhood is very like, you know, whatever. Like, it's trendy, I guess, it's not the right word, but it's not the wrong word, that like people are like our age and generation, like Gen Z millennials, are very like, guess I'm only gonna live till 30. Like, I'm not gonna be able to have kids because, or own a house, or like the world's not gonna exist.
Yeah.
And like, so like, we're trained to have less self-preservation instincts because we're told that it's kind of futile. Right. But it's more tangible to like watch your actions harm other people, or the pain that you might be willing to take upon yourself, yeah, being inflicted on someone else is more compelling.
Yeah.
And then like we get that backstory, like he tries to take it upon himself again, but it's still tied up in Meg. And then we get weird, like trippy, he's Meg and Apollo at the same time, living through her memories.
Yeah.
And Nero being a creep.
Oh my God.
So awful.
It's like, especially the detail of like the quote, like the sickly sweet cologne. I was like, yes. I'm going to throw up. Like, the detail work was so good. And it made me nauseous.
No, I was like, why is the scariest part of this, like, the smell? There was so much description of scents and, like, the scent memory.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
We don't talk about scents enough.
No, we don't.
We don't talk about scents enough.
Scent memories are the worst.
They are.
And also, like, super vivid for some reason.
Yes.
Like, there are certain, like, sometimes I walk outside and I'm like, I'm at summer camp. Like,
yeah,
literally. It smells like exactly like it, depending on where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like you catch a smell of something and like, that smells like my ex-boyfriend. Or like, like, oh, I'm
a heavier note.
I'm in my third grade classroom.
Yeah,
like,
oh.
Like, I'm in Disneyland at 5. Like, what? Like, they're crazy, like, specific.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
Also, I think that this is not to do with the theme, but we're just talking about this now. I think that Meg is such, like, we just don't see her talk that much.
Yeah, she's
like, weird. Just as a character, like, she's a little quieter, unless, you know, like, she speaks her mind for sure, but she's like not.
She's not talking about her feelings.
Yeah, she's not talking about like what she's going through. So I feel like the only glimpses we get into her backstory and like what affects her is a situation like this, where like we like see a memory play out in front of us like this, and it was so much terribly sad information. This poor little girl.
No,
please just let her be.
The rose, I was like,
that's exactly what I was gonna say. But, and then the way Apollo's like, well, the flower is just part of the plant.
Yeah,
like, that plant was still alive. Like, oh my God. I was like, what a heavy-handed metaphor. That works real well.
He was like, you have strong roots. I was like, I'm puking.
Literally
screaming, so crying, throwing the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you also learn through this that, like, Meg doesn't have much self-preservation at all.
No.
Which is just so much more I mean, it's tragic in all senses, but like, she's like 13.
Yeah.
Like, she's so young to like not believe that she deserves to continue to, you know?
Yeah. And especially that in contrast with Apollo's like developing in the other direction of like, he says in these chapters, oh, I've been doing all of this so I could try to become a god, so I could try to be immortal, so I don't have to worry about dying. And here I am, ready to sacrifice everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like die a mortal death. And there's like also lines about like, it's a different kind of immortality. Like,
yeah,
a mortal death. And I was like, that's interesting too.
Yeah.
It is. Because like, if he, like, Apollo knows the system of death and what happens to you afterwards, you know,
yeah,
better than any mortal or demigod would. And he was like ready to accept that and was like, well, it's not, you know, lights out forever if that's what I have to do right now to save Meg.
Yeah.
So sad.
I also, there's a question that I've started pondering with this whole, like, how the Roman emperors became gods thing. So if the whole thing is like being remembered is part, like, and part of that, like, cultural consciousness is like immortality, and that's what we're talking about. Can Apollo die? Because like, if everyone is like, well, Apollo is like the god, a god, and he is the god Apollo, and we all know who Apollo is, can he die?
Probably not. And like, I was like, when I was reading these, and I was like, damn, it's looking like death is imminent, and given the like the prophecy that we have been given, like, this looks like the moment that death is imminent. And I was like, maybe I saw a realistic idea of like him having to grapple with all of it, and then like, but like not dying, but like Zeus being like, all right, you've learned your lesson, and that's the end. And I was like, that would have been boring, like, if that was just like his lesson.
Yeah.
But like, that was a real possibility I could see for the story. And I feel like if he ever actually, like, he wouldn't actually die. He would maybe like have to regenerate for a while.
Yeah, like, I guess like Kronos like never like really die. Like, these gods don't really die. They can like fade, kind of become like lost. Like,
yeah.
Rhea in the last book was like kind of just like out there, like beyond everything, like, mm-hmm. still around, but like, it's interesting. And like, Kronos is like chopped up in little pieces.
Yeah,
it's just odd because Reese's piece. But it's like, how do the rules change when Apollo is strictly mortal as of the moment?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, his mortal body clearly can die, but like, he's also more than that, because like, what is also like, why does Zeus have the power to make people, I guess all the gods have the power to make people immortal. You think they would do it more?
Yeah. Or maybe they're like self-conscious and they're like, we don't want anyone to, you know, try to take over our thing.
Very weird.
Our thing being Olympus.
But like, you'd think that they'd be falling in love everywhere. I guess they actually do turn a lot of those people immortal. Yeah. So I guess I take that back.
Oh yeah.
Or some of them burn up and like die because Hera killed them. And that's what happens to a lot of them.
Yeah. They've seen
Hera took out a lot.
It seems to be understood, like, Rick seems to explain it in a way of like, they used to do it a little too willy-nilly, and now they've learned that they can't, you know.
Yeah.
That they've like faced the consequences of making, you know, whoever they love that week immortal.
It's and also like,
oh my god, we did not do that anymore.
There's also only so many things you can be the god of.
That's
like, they already seem to have a lot of aces covered. There are a lot of minor gods. There are already, like, gods of sofas.
Camp Half-Blood is only so big. There's only so many cats. We cannot handle this anymore.
Lots of... Because it is, like... You'd think after, like, enough time... These gods have been around forever. They're making new gods. They're all having kids. Shouldn't everyone be a little bit demigod at this point?
Probably.
So that's, like, complicated because they've been around for so long. And there's also, like, other culture god, like,
yeah,
gods in this universe because, like, Rick Riordan has established that all of his books are in the same universe. So there, so there's all the gods of every culture that's ever existed are real. They're all having kids. How is not everyone in this universe attached to the gods in some way? Or maybe they all are, they're just not telling each other. Like, everyone's like, yeah, like, I have a secret. I'm so special. I'm so important. But it's like everyone in this universe is like secretly a god and they're just not all talking about it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Got me thinking, man.
They thinking.
The gods are real.
Like the Greek gods.
I'll never, ever forgive the composers for that song. It's off topic, but it's so bad. The rest of the musical is pretty good.
But that, but then it breaks into the, like, I didn't want to be a half blood.
And that slays.
It slays so hard.
It's just like the first 2 minutes is
like that. Yeah.
Anyways, we're off topic.
We are. Do we have any more thoughts? I feel like so much happened, but like.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really relevant to the, like, the last chapter is not really relevant to the theme. He's just trying to, like, Annabeth his way out of a situation.
And he does successfully.
Oh, I miss her.
I know.
Like, it was fun for sure. I just don't have much to say about it.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a real extended con. He played the long con.
He did play the long con.
IT-heed.
Yeah.
Do we want to do sass moments then?
Yes. Oh my god, I have mine. I want to say it first because I feel like it would be popular. Yes, her voice squeaked, charm the snakes, make them go away. I didn't understand what she meant. When I sang, my audiences always came closer. Who was this girl Meg anyway? She had apparently confused me with St. Patrick. Nice guy, by the way. Terrible singing voice. The legends don't normally mention that he drove the snakes out of Ireland with his hideous version of Te Deum. That's hilarious.
That was good. Mine is also a moment of Apollo not remembering anything, but also remembering a lot. But it's literally talking about that. Things I could remember. I'd had a vision of Leto. She'd been trying to convince Zeus to forgive me. That was so sweet. I'd also have a vision of the goddess Styx. She'd been angry. Hilarious. For some reason, I could remember every note Stevie Ray Vaughan played on Texas Flood. What a great song. It made me laugh. There's like paragraphs of interview that also made me laugh.
Yeah. No, that's
what a great song.
What a great song.
All of the honey cake stuff was funny. I'm just going to read a section. It's a little long, but it's funny, so we're going to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Meg frowned. You never said anything about honey cakes, but I just remembered we need them for the snakes. Snakes. Meg developed a facial tic that I did not think was related to hypothermia. Why would there be snakes? Good question. I just know we're supposed to have honey cakes to appease them, so we forgot the cakes. You never said anything about cakes. Well, that's a shame. Anything we can substitute Oreos, perhaps? Meg shook her head. No Oreos. Then I guess we'll have to improvise. And then, like, he keeps on and keeps asking about the honey cakes later as well. very funny.
His whole, like, tone, like, something about him having, like, this amnesia situation made him so much fucking funnier.
It was.
Like, he was just so much more flippant and, like, cared so much less about, like, very obviously cared so much less about everything. But, like, the way it translated, like, applause for Rick, you know?
Yeah, it was real funny. pour offerings for?
Oh, God.
I'm going to start it off with Meg.
I got to hop on that, too.
It was very sad.
Rough week for her.
Yeah.
I might...
Really has to stop being one.
Yeah, I'm going to make it three for Meg.
I think it's deserving.
Yeah. She almost died. We, like, looked at her trauma again. She's on the struggle bus. And in the same vein, like, I can't not do Nero.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
He's just so vile.
Vile.
I was thinking one of the monster guys at the end, just because all of their dialogue was, like, annoying, but I think
no, it was funny.
I loved the Bleme.
I'll give it to him as well. It makes sense.
All right, that's all for this week. Join us next week, folks, where we will be discussing
chapters 37 through 40.
Yes, make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Cam on every platform that matters, and we also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com. Goodbye.
Bye. Peace out, Girl Scout.
Oh, okay.
That was a new one.